Hey, this is Ronnie Gibson again. This is episode number 27. Today I have with me
Danny Passion, Senior Sales Associate.
Danny, what's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Just another great Monday. How about you?
Doing well myself. So, Danny, how long you been with Schneider?
Been with Schneider a little over 3 years now.
Okay. And Senior Salesman... if people that are listening don't know, we joined the same team together, but I joined your team and the rest of the guys around, it's probably like a year and 8 months now, coming up on 2 years, and it's been an honor being your direct report, your operations manager, Danny, over the years, and I've learned a lot from you, man, so I'm pumped with this conversation.
Yeah, me too, and thank you for having me on here. It's been a pleasure working with you for the past year, basically, and I've definitely learned a lot from you too, just from different aspects of Schneider, and I think it's great that with you being a manager and me being a seller that we're able to push each other to strive for greatness every day, so I'm really excited to have a conversation with you.
I like it. What so Danny, give some people some background of like just some where you came from before Schneider and, you know, and what led you to Schneider.
Yeah. I guess really I was a college athlete, and then I was looking for jobs. My uncle, he was a State Farm agent. I tried working in his office for a little bit. The pace didn't seem as fast as like what I was wanting to be in. So I did work with him for about a year, and that this was during college. And then my senior year, we had a career fair, and I basically went to every single booth, pretty much gave out my information, my resume, just trying to get myself in as many or in front of as many opportunities as possible. And the guy that I met with at Schneider at the booth, me and him talked for literally 30 minutes. And he just looked at me and he's like, I'm going to get you a job at Schneider. And he's like, you're going to do extremely well here. And he kind of gave me the confidence from the start. I did go to some other job interviews before Schneider. You know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that I didn't get hired there. And then I ended up having two phone interviews with Schneider. They brought me into the Chicago office. I went in there for a morning interview, and the rest is history. I got a job offer in October of 2016, and then I accepted it. And I finished up school in May of 2017, and then I started June 5th of 2017.
Mm. And you played, Danny played basketball at Purdue Calumet. Danny, how tall are you, Danny?
Right at 6'7".
Danny's a big boy.
A little bit.
So, starting off, Danny, how did you do at Schneider? And you know, whoever this associate was, are they still at Schneider that said you'd do well right away? Did you do well right away?
He's an operations, I believe manager at the Gary, facility. He may have relocated now.
Okay.
But yeah, he was just one of the guys from an offsite place that was out there just meeting people, just to see who would be a good fit. Starting at Schneider, I think either the last person or one of the last people on my team to get a truckload. And it took me about, 4 weeks to get my first load. And actually, I didn't even get the customer myself. It was somebody I became friends with in the office, and she had passed down the account to me. Mm. So it was just, you know, she just gave me the account just so I could practice quoting, actually, because I couldn't get anybody to give me quotes or give me the time of day. So that took a little bit of time, you know, to get my first load for about 4 or 5 weeks when everyone else on my team was getting all these quotes and these truckloads and LTL orders and everything. So it definitely took a little bit of time.
So early on, I mean, what was the issue early on? Was it because I'm pretty sure you were still putting in the dials, so was it something you just wasn't clicking, or is it just a matter of time of, you know, just wasn't hitting stride in the first month?
I think I realized after when I got my first truckload, I think I was prospecting the wrong prospects, which is a pretty common mistake. You know, I was going for commodities that probably weren't the best. I mean, I don't remember exactly what I was going for, but like, for example, if you're going to prospect a magnet company or something, I mean, how many magnets can you fit on a pallet, right? Mm-hmm. So, or if you're, you know, screws or nuts and bolts and that kind of small stuff, I wasn't really prospecting these massive companies who are going to be high valued shippers, or they're going to have high value freight. You know, I wasn't doing the prospecting as far as like going up and down aisles and stores, seeing what retailers were having these shelves full of all these different products, which is how I ended up changing my prospecting a couple months down the line after I realized what I initially had started was not working out for me.
Okay. And, you know, then how did you do the first year and a half?
First year and a half, I did pretty good. You know, I realized that they had told us you needed to make 85 dials a day and have a average or try to hit 2.5 hours of talk time. And I was hitting those dials and I was hitting that talk time. You know, but then I realized that there's some sellers in the office that are doing, you know, crazy amounts of net revenue per month. And if I wanted to ever get to their level, I couldn't just do the average of what they were telling us to do of 85 dials a day and, you know, 2.5 hours of talk time. So every night I would go home, I would prospect on Google Maps, I would go on to different companies' websites like Target, Walmart, Costco. I would make sure I had 40, 50, 60, 70 cold calls prepared for the next day. And I just basically forced myself on the phone as much as possible. And then for my first 6 months, I was averaging probably about like 100 to 120 calls a day. My average talk time was around 3.5 to 4.5 hours a day. And then, you know, I was really just competing with myself at that point then. So any day that I would have under 3 hours of talk time, I would have our manager check at the end of the day. And if I didn't have those 3 hours in, I would make sure I stayed to complete a 3 hour day. And then I had had a competition through the office basically to try to set a record for talk time. I think I made like 140 dials in the day and I had about 6.5 or 7 hours of talk time, I believe it was. And, you know, I wasn't doing it to try to impress anybody. I was doing it for myself because, you know, it's easy to dial 300, 400 calls in a day and just have those time just continue to rack up. Mm-hmm. But if you're dialing 300 calls and you're having 6 hours of talk time, you're not having meaningful conversations. So when you start putting in the work as far as, hey, I could do 140 dials in a day, but also talk on the phone for 5 to 6 hours, you know, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and having those silent, awkward conversations. And it's really just about bonding and rapporting with every single person that answers the phone, whether that's the receptionist, salesperson, the purchasing manager. And all those people you build relationships with are going to eventually unlock you into the next person or like the higher up person that you need to be speaking with. So just going back to your question, all that had built up my success. I ended up hitting then 20K in revenue in my first 6 months. And then in my 1 year, I ended up hitting 30,000. And then it just started to continue from there. And, you know, I just try to maintain as much as my possible practices that I had done when I first started to just continue building what I have right now.
a lot of people, when you're brought up in a conversation, Danny, they look at you as like an anomaly. Like, well, that's Danny. That, you know, that's the reason he's putting in all those calls. Like, what is it that gets you developing these type of, you know, metrics on a daily basis? Like how do you zone in and get to a point where you can develop these, you know, call new business, you know, habits in your day to day? Because I know you personally, and I know you do it outside of work too. So what are some things that you implement to ensure that you are hitting these daily and because you know it's going to eventually drive you to bringing in new customers and overall succeeding?
I would say it's, you know, if you're going to chase the top person in the company in sales, you know, you're going to have to put in the work at some point. And the more calls that you make, the more opportunity you're going to get yourself in front of. And that's just something that I always, you know, I think my work ethic, as far as that goes, comes from being a collegiate athlete. It's happened to me several times, and I'm a very firm believer of hard work will always pay off. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of patience. You got to have discipline. You got to have drive, dedication. And, you know, to be honest, you got to be obsessed if you want to be great. And I was obsessed literally with cold calling. I was obsessed with prospecting every night. I don't know how my parents didn't get sick of me talking to them about what conversations I had, you know, today and stuff. And every day it was just, oh, I talked to so-and-so, or, you know, I had this conversation, this person let me quote them out. And I think it's just, you know, how you do anything in life is how you do everything. Mm. And I try to always excel at some point, and, you know, just to try to get to the top spot at Schneider at some point. You know, if you want to be the best, you got to take out the best, and you just got to put in the work that the best had already put in. So, you know, I know our top sales associates are putting in extremely hard work every single day. And like I said, you just got to get yourself in as many opportunities as possible. So I think as far as just calling and dialing, anyone can do it. If they say they can or they're too busy, you know, it's honestly just an excuse that they just don't want to. And it might be because of fear. You know, it could be because they're scared of getting rejected or being denied, mm-hmm. which is totally understandable, but you got to do it. Honestly, if you want to be successful and you want to see the reward come, you got to take the risk and put yourself out there.
Yeah. I love the mindset. I think a lot of people, you know, myself included, we're all trying to look for, you know, shortcuts and ways to get around it, you know, life hacks and all these, you know, like health hacks and that we try to implement. But if you really want to increase your chances, you know, all it is, it's, you know, to increase the opportunity to bring in new customers, you just increase the amount of volume. And then as long as you're having solid conversations for the majority of those, obviously you're increasing the volume, you know, the opportunity. So you're probably going to increase your chances of bringing someone in, you know? So it's just, we always try to find, you know, shortcuts, but when it comes down to brass tacks, it comes down to putting in the work the first. And then, as soon as I joined the team and, you know, became your manager and was listening to some of your calls, and I knew it was just a matter of time. And you know, I just kept telling you, because you had a lot of bill tos, a lot of customers for people listening, not in transportation, but you had a lot of customers, not too many big customers, but you were doing all the right things. You're having the right conversations. You were still putting in a lot of new business calls, new business emails, and it was just a matter of time. And I think not only did I know that, but you knew it too. And I think between your competitive edge and just knowing that, and realizing if you do have the habits in place, your goals will eventually come to fruition, right?
Yeah, so 100%.
It's a good testament. I mean, I was looking at some of your numbers even before this, Danny. You were hitting, 40K net revenue a few times last year. And then, but even at the beginning of this year, it's a little slower in the December, January months, but you were at around 30K and you've surpassed over 85K in July and now have yourself a team passion. You have a support, Toby, that joined the team and everything's all paying off from all the hard work that you're putting in. Now we're seeing a lot of good opportunities flow through, and I think it's all a testament to just putting in this hard work day in, day out. And you're still, I'll give you a shout out. You're still one of my top, or the top caller and the top new business activity person on my team, even as as your book of business grew. So.
Yeah. And it's, Toby helps me out a ton. It takes a lot off my plate now as he's getting more acclimated with my book of business. So I really appreciate him a ton. He's super easy to work with. And, me and Toby had talked about it, and I told him, I said, hey, our goal for 2021 is, we got to get over $1 million in revenue. So, he's on the same page I am, and we're both as a team going to tackle that together, and we're both going to be $1 million team. I want to be the next $1 million seller that comes up at Schneider. I've been here for 3 years, but my ultimate goal is to go up on stage and put on an orange jacket at some point. And, I still understand to this point that I need to continue putting in cold calls. I need to continue following up on with prospects and continue prospecting day in and day out in order to achieve something like that. I also think the other thing too is that, people might hit a certain number in net revenue. They might be $1 million seller, and then they end up being satisfied with, just hitting that mark, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's extremely important to never be satisfied in life. Once you are satisfied, you can't progress farther than satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So it's something you just got to always strive for. And, I think it's important just to continue to stay humble at all points in time. And, just to continue calling people up, asking for referrals, which is what I do with my customers. As far as that goes, we have a lot of big goals set for Team Passion for the rest of this year, and then also for 2021. And, I'm just really excited to see where this goes.
While we're in the meat of talking about book of business and how you grew it, what are some of the new business prospecting type of activities that you do, Danny?
I do a lot. It's, I love Google Maps. I would say I've gotten probably about 90% of my customers off Google Maps. Wherever I'm delivering or picking up into, if it's a warehouse or if it's some type of a name that I've noticed before or even haven't noticed, but the area or the location looks good, I'll just type in the address in on Google and go to the satellite views. I'll look at to see the warehouses around there, and typically I'll just cleanse all the names in our system. And if they're not there, I'll just give them a call real quick before building an account. And if they have freight, then I'm making an account, and I don't want to close out an account until I can get the load from them. And I know that could be a bad thing in a way because it could take longer than usual, but if the customer is going to have freight and there's going to be a lot of it, I'll never close out of an account until I close them. So Google Maps is my number one go-to for prospecting right now. My other one is going off of Zoom Info, where I can get the contacts, direct numbers and names and everything. And I'll take my current customers and I'll put their names in there, and I'll look up the competitors, and I'll try to call as many competitors as possible. It makes it a very easy, warm conversation because you're pretty familiar with the products and how it's being shipped already. And then I would just say looking up other big companies that are out there. I mean, really, like anything. I mean, if you take like an electronics like Samsung, Vizio, LG or something, you can go ahead and type in their competitors on, obviously, ZoomInfo would be one of them, or type it in on Google. I try to look up new e-commerce businesses as well. But I'd say for the most part, Google Maps is my go-to, and looking up areas that are full of warehouses is going to probably be the, that's where I've had my success from, is going off there. And it never hurts to ask for referrals from a customer. That's a huge one I think a lot of people fail to do. If you have a good relationship with the customer, easy conversation. You know, I had just had one yesterday, and we just got our first load that we're picking up tomorrow. And I asked my customer if she potentially has any people, or I noticed you're picking up from this location a lot. So I had asked her and said, do they ship their own freight by any chance? Is there a way you could refer me to them? She put me on an email with the owner. Owner said, give me a call on my cell phone. Me and the owner talked for about 20 minutes and then said our pricing looked good. So we should be seeing several loads a week from them starting up here in October.
Yeah, I like that. You've never been afraid to, you know, just straight up ask for the business, you know, or ask for the loads, ask for the shipments, ask for the referrals. And I think that's another thing that kind of sets you apart, in my opinion, because it's similar to what you were talking about earlier in our conversation when it comes to not being afraid, you know, being on these sales calls and not being afraid to ask the tough questions or sit there and quiet or any type of uncomfortability. That's one thing I noticed early on when I was listening to some of your calls. Like, you didn't let like any type of uncomfortability affect you, or like you ask them a question or ask them for business and they're sitting there quiet for a while. That was something that you, it was almost like you just weren't affected by the social, you know, awkwardness and cues that we typically, you know, because a lot of times what we'll do, I'll do and other people will do, is you'll start, if a customer doesn't start talking, you'll start filling in answers for them, right? So yep. I think you do a really good job at that. I don't know if you had any comments to add to that.
Yeah, I could add one. There's a guy that I follow by the name of Grant Cardone, and he had always preached to his sales team that basically the hardest questions to ask are always the million-dollar questions, and they're the hardest questions because people typically don't ask them. And like, it's very simple, even about just, it's not really a hard question, but you know, Matt Suela had always put out the 3-step question for quoting on it. You know, if someone's going to reach out to you for a spot quote and you just ask them, why are you having me quote this? And it seems very awkward to be calling a prospect or a customer for several months asking them if you can quote their business, and then they finally let you quote something, and then you have to ask them and say, so why are you letting me quote this? And the typical response from the customer is, well, you've been calling me, you know, like I wanted to give you a shot and see where you're at. So then that leads it into more difficult questions. Okay, I understand that, and you know, I've been calling you for several months and I've been getting denied. So what's changed? Why are you calling me? Why are you giving me this opportunity right now? And that will typically lead to different pain points that the prospect or the customer will release. And it makes it an easy conversation then. Because if they're going to let you quote something, more than likely they're either just getting a rate increase on their end, they're getting missed pickups, missed deliveries, whatever the situation is. So you can't be afraid to ask the hard question because it's going to unlock more than what you typically would think that it would. And, you know, it's always easy to have a very flowed conversation. And then there's questions you want to ask that you can be, you know, a little bit shy or afraid of to ask, which is understandable. But I definitely think that asking the harder questions and the ones that you're hesitant about asking are the most important ones to be asking.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's, and I mean, these people on the other side of the phone, they're human beings just like us, you know, like what's the worst that can happen? You know, they stop talking to you or, you know,
yeah.
or they ignore you or say no. I mean, I think we just build up these, you know, expectations and have these perceptions of what we want to hear. And if it doesn't go that way, then, you know, our anxiety builds and, you know, and then we, you know, either get uncomfortable or just maybe get embarrassed or worried about getting embarrassed. There's just a lot of fear that we build into it. And it's, mm-hmm. it's really not needed. We're talking to two human beings like yourself and I talking on, you know, the podcast here right now. There's just,
exactly.
just build too much into it. Good stuff, Danny. Let's see, we can, actually, yeah, let's, I like asking about books that people read and what books, some of their most favorite books and books they hand out. I know since, me and you have read a few books together over the last couple years working together. So I know you're always, I know that's, you know, what I love about you is it's, you're not just putting in the productivity, you're trying to learn as you go and you're trying to deliberately learn, as you go. And by reading books, reading, you know, sales podcasts, learning from other sellers. So what's some books or podcasts, anything that you listen to, Danny, that you like?
Podcast, there's a great one. It's by Josh Braun, and it's called Inside Selling. Some of them are pretty short and sweet, but he brings on really awesome people, and he gives out great content that I'll jot notes down, especially when I was taking the train into Chicago. It's a great time to read, listen to different podcasts, but Inside Selling by Josh Braun is one of them that I would highly recommend.
He's a good LinkedIn follow too. Like he'll give just some very quick, good
yeah.
sales tips on the weekly.
Yeah, he'll teach how to send good cold emails, what not to be putting in, how you need to be changing the letter I into you 80% of the time, so that way you're not talking about yourself all the time. And whenever you're trying to get with a prospect, they could probably care less when you're talking about yourself in an email or on the phone and it's always about them. So that's just very simple stuff that slips the mind a lot of salespeople is I, and you need to be you. Mm-hmm. So that's something he talks a lot about. I know you and I had read the book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, which, you know, I think is an excellent book. There's several pages that he has, just in there that basically, he talks about like how to word different scenarios since he was, like a hostage negotiation specialist with the FBI. But I have a couple of his pages screenshotted on my phone that I'll just review once every week. Once a couple or every other week or something. I have some stuff screenshotted on my computer as well. And then I have certain emails directed based off of wordage that he has, because he'll explain how some words might make someone feel uncomfortable. You know, if you want to, like, you don't want to make the prospect feel pressured, and he uses specific examples, and I'd have to probably pull it up to actually remember what it was, but
Never Split the Difference by
oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna talk about that book. I just love how he brings everything back of just like truly listening to that other person, you know. And this is obviously great in sales and great in, you know, in business to business relationships, but it's also great in human relationships and dealing with any kind of people. But it's always just being very mindful of yourself in conversations and ensuring that you're a really effective listener and you're actually paying attention to what the customer is saying. And that was really big all the way throughout the book. And then another thing was just removing, you know, previous held beliefs and perspectives that you have of said customer and looking at it from the view, not of you, not what you expect, not, you know, of this sale or how this call is going to go, but try to think of it of from the customer side, because he did that a lot in the hostage negotiations, and it's really effective because we're always focused on ourselves. We have these egos that we have, and we're always trying to fuel our own egos. But what we really need to do is understand who we're talking to, the customer, and really understand that. And it's just really, really great book if you're looking to understand how to work with people and move the sales process forward.
Yeah, and like I said, he has great stuff in there just about simple words of how you could change them. You know, like, for example, you could do, instead of asking, does this look like something you would like, you could easily just translate it into, how does this look to you? And there's psychological triggers when you're talking to somebody of how you could word something that'll make, it'll come off more calmly than, you know, they might put up like a wall or like get a little bit defensive if you ask a question a certain way. You know, he talks about how why is a, it could be used as a, you know, almost like offending somebody at some point. Like you're cornering them. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it depends on like what the situation is, but I would just say it's definitely a book I would recommend reading. It's an easy read. It's not terribly long. So I would say that's probably one of my favorites. And then obviously, you know, you and I talk about David Goggins all the time. My favorite book is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. I absolutely love that book. I relate to him, I feel like, a little bit. So it's just, if people have not read that book, they need to read it as soon as possible.
How much motivation in that book instill into you, Danny, as you read it and going forward?
You said what, sorry?
I was just saying, how much like motivation did that instill just by, as you read the book and like going forward?
Oh, I got fired up reading that book. That's a book I'll probably read, like, I would say at least 2 times a year. I know you own it. My one friend that had lent it to me, you know, she let me borrow it, and I was, actually I read it and I was pretty disappointed I hadn't read it earlier. But there's just so much that he has in there about, you know, how important it is to fail in life and to like never give up on yourself, and how you can't let pain cause your emotions to go like a certain direction. And it's all about the mind, and everything literally just starts with the mind from every aspect. You know, if you're going to go into stuff, you know, Henry Ford had once said, if you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% true. And I feel like David Goggins is basically, he's like the living person of that. And, you know, if you're going to go into something thinking that you can't do it, you're probably not going to do it. And, you know, if I'm going to go into a business meeting, or if I'm going to go into a cold call, just thinking, oh, if this person answers the phone, like, they're not going to want my business, or they're just going to hang up on me, you're already putting a bad negative mental image in your head. And that's going to translate on the phone. And I was always told, you know, smile and dial, right? Because people could hear and see your smile through the phone. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go into a situation thinking you can do something, at least you're being optimistic about it. You have the positive energy, the confidence is there, and people could hear confidence over the phone and they could hear energy. So, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. That's another book that I would 100% recommend reading. It'll really get you motivated to wake up every single day and to just honestly just tackle the day as hard as you can and just give it your all.
That quote, whether you think you can or you can't, that quote by Henry Ford, before reading some of these books like Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins and War of Art and talking about resistance and, you know, all being about the mind, it seems like such a basic quote and you just kind of look at it and it's like, oh, okay, you know, you don't really think much of it, but like as explaining on some of the ways, just like truly, if you're going into a customer call and you don't have a positive, you know, mindset when it comes into it, it's not just having a positive mindset or negative mindset. Like if you have a negative mindset and think it's not going to go very well, you're going to subconsciously prevent yourself from asking certain questions. You know, it's going to come off the way it's going to come off onto the phone through, you know, verbally and your tone of voice and just the way you ask for the business. Like there's just so much subconsciously that it's going to affect you that you don't even realize. That's why that quote's so powerful now that I know what I know now when it comes to a lot of the mental game that David Goggins talks about and Can't Hurt Me, of just being able to control your mind, because our mind's the ones that's preventing us from being our best selves that we can be. You know, I always call it resistance, and he's once you're able to overcome the resistance, you know, then you're able to overcome it. It's almost like the strength builds to overcome it as you overcome it every single day, right? And it makes it easier and easier. And he does it through exercise, or he builds its strength. Like mindfulness over that internal, like, resistance in your brain that says, you're gonna, oh, this customer's, he's never gonna let me have the business, or I can't run a mile, you know, I can't run a mile, or I can't do 2 miles, or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just so damn powerful of the mindset you go into it.
Yeah, I agree as well. And just kind of going off that point too, I mean, you know, obviously everybody in life, you're going to have highs and lows. I think they're both extremely important to have, because you're going to be learning obviously from the lows, and you could obviously learn from the highs. But, you know, especially being in our job, right? It's, if you're having a really good week or a good couple months, you know, it's extremely easy to operate and excel on the highs, right? Everything's going great. So the momentum is going to be in your favor. So the thing that I think is best that I've learned from in myself is when the lows are coming and you get in a rut, that's going to really show your true colors and your character. So you have to understand that there's going to be times in life where things will go really bad, right? And it might be for days, it might be for weeks, it might be for months. You're not going to win constantly, you know, you're not going to be a winner all the time. But when you're having the lows in life, no matter what it is, it's important that you continue to execute everything. And when the motivation is gone, that's typically when you're on the lows, you still need to do the things that you need to do. And just speaking about work and stuff, if you're having a really bad month or a bad couple of weeks, you know, it's not just, you don't want to sit back and just sulk about what's going on. It's, you need to go out and make more phone calls then, and make the lows into highs then, and, you know, turn those low moments in life back into your high. And because most people are going to be productive on the highs. You know, when I'm having my best months ever, that's when I want to make all those phone calls to these CEOs and these big executives, because the confidence is so powerful when things are going your way that you feel almost indestructible in a way. Mm-hmm. And then when the lows come, it's easy to find excuses and to bail out on yourself, but, you know, you can never quit on yourself. And you have to remember that the lows are temporary. And when you're going through lows, that's when you need to push even harder. And at some point, it's going to end up working out in your favor. So that's something I think that's extremely important, especially with work, you know, obviously in life in general as well. But, you know, you have to be okay with having a couple low days or a couple low months or, you know, a couple weeks. And it's just going to really matter what you do on the back end to turn those lows into highs and to rebuild and regain new confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm. There was a story where, I don't remember the full story, but it was these Americans carrying this canoe, and then these, this Indian tribe guys were carrying a canoe behind them. They're climbing up the mountain. They get the American guys were all, it, you know, it was a super heavy canoe. They were not in sync. They were, you know, they were getting injured. They were super tired, dropping it, arguing and everything. And then it was kind of going the same way with the Indian tribe guys, but they were just laughing, having a ball with it, just making fun of their own misery and having fun with the situation. And it's similar to what you're saying. It's like, even in these low times, you know, if we get down on ourselves and build into the, you know, build into our whatever's going on, and it's only going to make it worse. And there's a lot of people out there that would probably beg for the situation that we're in, or what we consider our low time. And 99% of, you know, the world that doesn't exist anymore because they've passed away, you know, as morbid as that sounds, like everyone that isn't still with us on this planet would love to have that low day, you know? So it's like,
exactly,
to like zone in my inner spiritualness when it comes to that. And it's just like, a lot of people would love to have this low day that I'm having. So I'm just going to try and push through it and try and manifest those good thoughts, like you said.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
While we're on it, do you have like a favorite failure of yours, Danny, where you thought it was, you know, the end of the world at the time, and you battled through it and look back on it, you're like, damn, that made me a better person? And
that's a hard question. I don't know if I have like a favorite failure. You know, you obviously know that I love to work out. So, I wouldn't really consider this like a favorite failure, but you know, in the gym, right, I do CrossFit. So I always love to try to, I'm always trying to be the best, like, you know, I'm always trying to see who the best person in the class is. And I always try to keep up with them constantly. And then, you know, I feel like if I don't beat them or whatever, then I had failed my workout for the day. But kind of just bringing that back a little bit, I feel, you know, just going back to like college basketball, you know, just very general stuff of like failures as far as, you know, if I wasn't getting a lot of playing time, you know, that it would just make me work even harder because I didn't want to be a failure. You know, I didn't want to disappoint people that were around me all the time, coming to watch me specifically to play in games. You know, and if I didn't get playing time, you know, I'd feel almost embarrassed or like that I had failed them to even like come out to the game. So, that had always drove me to constantly work as hard as possible. And, you know, not saying that I've had failures at Schneider, and, you know, I've had really big proposals that I was really confident in getting business from. And, you know, we didn't end up getting the business. And then, you know, I felt like I had failed on my end and I was trying to figure out what I had done wrong. But, you know, you have to just look at the failures that you have in life, because it really, like, if I wouldn't have failed this so many times in life, you know, whether it be high school basketball, college basketball, some test exams that I've taken, you know, failed opportunities at work with Schneider, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So as far as that goes, I can't really think of like a specific one that really like pushed me over and motivated me, but there's lots of little small failures that I've had in life that have gotten me to where I am today. So I would say I would say the small failures are probably really important. And I actually have a shirt that says fail early and fail often. And, you know, my friends they always ask me like, you know, what is fail early and fail often? And, you know, to me, it's, you got to take the steps and you got to take the risk. And if you're going to be successful, you got to fail early and you actually have to fail often. And, you know, the last part of it is you got to fail forward though. If you're going to be failing in life, doing things, you got to take failures and then learn and succeed at them. And it's not going to be failure and then fail again on the same thing you just failed on. You want to take all the stuff that you're losing on and progress it into a winning statement. So that's just something that I personally like. I'm not afraid of failure. I actually embrace it and I love it. I personally think it makes people better day in and day out. It should motivate you. If it doesn't motivate you, not really sure what to say to that one, but, that's my viewpoint.
Yeah. I think that people, if it doesn't, then you just need to, you know, start thinking about failure in a different way, you know, is all, cause I'm sure a lot of people look at it as, you know, being embarrassed or worried what other people are going to think or their boss think or their coworkers. So it's just, if you're always willing to embrace it and be vulnerable and try to find ways you can learn from it. That's what I always loved about you, Danny, is even, you know, through the opportunities that we've lost, that I've worked with you with, you know, it's like you have a short memory I know that's why you can't come up with something off the top of your head, because you always try and forget about it, you know, really quick, see what you can learn from it, you know, put it in the past, because there's nothing really too much you can do about it going forward except apply that learning experience to a future customer or whatever, and then, you know, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. If you had a gigantic billboard that you could put anything on it, what would you put on it, Danny? Reach, you know, metaphorically speaking, millions, billions of people.
I would say, let's see, if I had a billboard, I would probably put on there, you must believe you are the one and that there is greatness inside of you. The reason why I would say that is, I feel like if you don't believe in yourself, it's going to be really hard to just get that positive energy and to excel at what you really want to do. And, you know, if you do believe in yourself, because a lot of times people or other people won't believe in you. So it's extremely important to believe in yourself and to do like what you're most excited about. And, you know, people might want to start a business. They might want to, you know, lead the company in sales. They might want to be a CEO one day. You know, there's too many discouraging things that are out there where people might tell you and say, you know, you can't do that. Oh, keep dreaming, you know, whatever the situation is. But the ones who are truly believing in themselves and working for that, you know, a lot of times it just takes patience and hard work. And I think that billboard, though, would be something, it'd be nice, big, bolded letters, you know, and if you drive by it, all it takes is just for you to see something or have someone tell you, just believe in yourself, you know, believe that you're the one. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's something I'd put on a billboard to get out there to people.
I love it. There was Goggins actually did a post the other day, and you know, he was going through some injuries. I think it's his feet just look horrible. I don't know if you saw.
I did see that. Yeah, he's got some nice toenails.
But so he had some comments on his Instagram of people being like, you know, it only takes 30 to 45 minutes of working out per day, you know, to get the most out of exercise. And he's like, you don't need to be doing all this. You're putting in too much work. And what I see out of that, honestly, is, and he was kind of saying, he's like, that message, and he was talking to these people that are making these comments. He's like, your message wasn't for me. You know, that was for yourself, because I don't think, because these people were not confident, you know, in themselves and their own abilities. So they were taking that out on David Goggins, because he has looked internally. He has, you know, he does believe in himself, and he has developed these habits, and he knows what's best for him. You know, so it's like, I really do think it comes down to, and how you do, you know, come up with that philosophy of believing in yourself is looking internally, right? You gotta lurk and become whole within yourself, become your best self is looking internally, and rather than worried about what other people are doing. I mean, you should be worried about what other people are doing, but in an effective way of learning from them, right? And so I think that's what he was trying to get across, and it's similar to your message, and how you do it is some of these things of going through these difficulties and learn, you know, and just trying to understand of yourself and your mental mindset during these events, you know, like what's some of the self-talk that you're giving yourself, you know, and how to get better with that. Like if you're in the middle of a very tough day and you had cold calls set aside, like how are you still overpowering that internal chatter that's saying, hey man, you've had a bad day, you can skip cold calls today, or you were supposed to run 2 miles after work and you just had a real rough day, you got a headache, and your mind's giving you every single reason as humanly possible how to get out or why you should not do it. And so it's like, what, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, going off that, personally for me, it's the reason why, if I'm telling if my body and my mind is like, oh, don't make this next cold call, like you've already had a rough day. But then, you know, I tell myself, well, this next phone call could be a life-changing phone call for me. Mm. And that's just something I think about going into every single phone call. I want that next phone call to be life-changing for me. I want it to be something that's going to help out Schneider and myself, you know, for the future. So that's something that drives me all the time. And it's just in the process of just like always wanting to be great and be excellent. And kind of going off that, you know, Aristotle had once said, you are what you repeatedly do. Therefore, excellence ought to be a habit and not an act. And that's something I take a lot of pride in myself. That's something I always strive for day in and day out. I try to be excellent. You know, everybody that I encounter, I want to be kind to, I want to be respectful to. Same way on the phone call. I've had plenty of cold calls where people have cussed me out and, you know, they've hung up the phone on me, and I'll call them right back up and say, I think we got disconnected. And they'll say, no, I hung up on you. And I'll say, oh, you know, sorry. Have a nice day. Right. And that kind of fires people up. And I kind of do it just because I want to be sarcastic with them. And, you know, obviously I know they hung up on me, but I think striving for excellence all the time is extremely important. So that's a way that I think about cold calling. And then, you know, if you have a headache and you're supposed to run 2 miles and your body's like, oh, I got a headache, you know, let's just take a nap. Well, what if that 2 mile run fixes your headache? Right.
100%.
So the run and exercise will most likely fix the headache over taking a nap and closing your eyes. I guess, you know, unless you have like a horrible migraine, which is like that's a different story. But, you know, you just gotta be optimistic, and it's just going to be, like I said before, are you going to make excuses and just like try to bail yourself out, or, you know, are you going to be the warrior and, you know, tackle the day? And, you know, there's something I heard one time that I actually really, really love. And it said that you could either be bitter, or you can get better, or you can go through things, or you can grow through things. And I just really love that in general, just because I would choose better over bitter, and I would always choose to grow rather than go. And there's constantly things you could always learn about, constant ways you could improve yourself. You know, that's why I talked to, at Schneider, I talked to a lot of the million-dollar sellers. I've asked them to mentor me. I've asked them to hop on cold calls. I've tried doing cold call roundtables with them. And they're million-dollar sellers for a reason. Like, they're the best at Schneider for a reason. So I want to learn from the best. And that's just something that's going to only get you better. And they can listen to your phone calls and critique you on them. And you have to understand that it's not a personal thing. It's a business thing. And they're just trying to help you to get you better, which is a reason why I love being a mentor at Schneider, because I love being able to help people out. I love being able to succeed with others around me. You know, when everyone is succeeding, it's a lot of fun, right? So that's just something that I would say is extremely important as well, is reaching out to people, you know, trying to learn from them, and, you know, just keep on growing.
It's a lot of good advice, man. I love the, you know, that next call could be life-changing. We should put that up on a pillar in our office when we get back and start working again. I love that. I mean, because I'm just trying to, as you were talking, I was applying that to all parts of my life. I'm just thinking that next book could be life-changing. That next run could be life-changing, you know, for my health. And, you know, that habit I pick up of, you know, meditation or journaling or whatever it is, you know, that next relationship that you build with a million-dollar seller could be life-changing. You know, that other mentor that you pick up, you know, that could be life-changing. It's
yeah,
I love it, Danny.
Yes, sir.
You kind of went over a lot of the question I was going to ask, but do you have anything else that you would, like, advice you would give to, like, a new Schneider associate that's just starting up, trying to build a book of business and trying to make a name for his or herself?
Yeah, I would say, you know, like I said, they have the 85 dials minimum, the 2.5 hours talk time to strive for. If you could push yourself to that point, that's only going to help you out more in the long run, I promise. And that's something that, you know, it's just really going to better yourself. It's going to help you become a better talker, communicator. I would say, like, continue to always be honest with customers. And then really it's just putting in the work after work. You know, don't just work from 7 to 4 o'clock. Don't keep a time limit on when you clocked in and when you clocked out. If you're going to be successful, you're going to have to work after hours. All my customers have my cell phone number. They all know they can call and text me whenever they want to. I have people calling me at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. sometimes. It's not often, but it happens. I'll always answer my phone if someone answers the phone, and I think that's something, or if someone calls the phone, and I think that's a differentiator just for yourself. They know that you're reliable, that they can count on you. So just for new people going out there, and that are going to be starting to cold call here soon, I would say, you know, just believe in yourself and don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. Don't be afraid if there's silence on the phone. Silence is power. So don't try to fill the gap. if there is that pause, if there's a pause for 5 seconds, I usually will just mute my phone and then I won't say anything until the next person does. And they typically will, they'll eventually start talking. And if they don't, I've actually recorded one time, my longest hold since someone started talking was 48 seconds. So, we just sat in silence literally the whole time. And then they finally just said something. I don't remember what they said, but
that's awesome.
I just muted my phone and it's a little awkward, but like I said, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And, just prior to Schneider, I'd never made a cold call in my life. But if you become obsessed with cold calling and you enjoy it and you understand that the rejection is not personal, it is all just, it's strictly business. They're not rejecting you because they don't like you as a person. They're not going to like reject giving you business because they don't like the way that your voice sounds. Right. Mm-hmm. That's extremely important, I think, for people to know that they're not denying or rejecting you. They're just doing it because of the general situation that could be going on currently. Mm-hmm. Also don't be a robot on the phone. Have personality, be weird, ask questions, get to know them. If they have kids, find out their kids' birthdays. I know a lot of my customers' families, they'll wish me happy birthdays. They'll send me stuff for Christmas, vice versa. So I think that's extremely important. It just having that connection with somebody and just not asking something that's extremely repetitive that person has already heard before. Just be creative.
Mm, I love it. Ton of good advice on here, Dan. I can't wait to share it with the listeners. And like some of the things, that you were saying, like if you are listening and you aren't hitting 85 calls and you're hitting half that, start slow, work and start making an extra 10 the next week and build yourself up. Instill those habits. Like Danny was saying, it's, you got to ensure that you have the habits in place, So it's, if you're only hitting 40 calls, start hitting 50 next week and then get up to 60 the following and then get up to 70 and ensure, that you've built those good habits first. And also some things that I was thinking of as you were talking about some of these, and I can remember myself early on at Schneider or other jobs, and especially starting out of college, you think to yourself, well, I'm probably not going to be at this job, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But like the mindset that you need to go into is what, is what Danny's saying. It's like, even if you don't think you're going to be here a year from now, that still doesn't give a good excuse of why you shouldn't be hitting 85 calls and being the best damn associate you can be today, tomorrow, because you're gonna learn a ton while you're here, and you're gonna learn a lot from other people, and you might as well make the best of it. But mm-hmm. Or you'll be here 3 years from now and got yourself a support and aiming for that $1 million seller, huh, Danny?
Yes, sir. Can't wait for that. I will achieve it. You just wait.
Yeah. I love it, man. That's about all I got for you today, Danny. I feel like it was a great conversation, man. I appreciate you for joining mm-hmm. on. There's jam-packed podcast today. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well, Ron. And, really looking forward to hopefully getting some positive feedback on this as well. So thanks again.
Cool. Thanks, Danny.